Chapter 8. 30 minutes into Angel Dust's session, Charlie had thought their relationship had increased since their last session together. Even if the nitty-gritty had been avoided thus far, he'd been a bit more lenient to the idea, taking in Charlie's words carefully and giving his own, sometimes demented and pessimistic, twist on them. Regardless, she had a few words written already when she would glance down to the paper beneath. Spirits seemed a little lighter.
"And yeah, that's cherry for ya,"
he said, gesturing a pair of arms outwards as he was lax against the sofa she installed in her office.
"She's fucking crazy,"
Angel laughed, recalling the story he had just told of one of their misadventures together. Something about taking down the massive ship of a snake-like man. Charlie couldn't recall the name.
"Ah, my type of crazy, though, yeah. Partners in crime."
Charlie simpered.
"When did the two of you meet? And how?"
Charlie was lost in thought for a moment.
"At the club I went to. Some of my first days in hell. I'd met her there. She was drunk as fuck and kindly offered me a line."
He grinned.
"And I guess our banter just fell into something natural. I was a mess, man. She gave me a place to bunk before..."
He winced. This was it. They couldn't avoid it forever. They both knew that. Charlie knew it very well, but she didn't want to spring it onto him, though this was the moment. Maybe they can finally really talk.
"Before Valentino?"
she asked carefully, and he nodded.
"How'd you meet him?"
Angel let the back of his head rest against the arm of the chair.
"Down on my luck, desperate for something. I missed my sister,"
he said, taking her by surprise at the family mention. She idly scribbled that into his papers.
"Maybe you'll get it, Charles. Maybe you won't. But you'll do anything for, I don't know, to be loved. To feel something that isn't just the sobering reality of your mistakes."
She glanced at the floor.
"Yeah, angel dust, porn star, yearning for some sort of attention. Any attention at all. Typical, right? And you know, that's what he gave me. He promised me so much, I really thought he loved me."
He smiled, grim.
"It was all fine and dandy at first till he started to negotiate. He wanted to make me a star. Wanted to keep bringing in people and things. And you know, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was tired."
Charlie asked,
"Did you love him?"
Angel Dust nodded.
"Once. He's a very charismatic guy."
He wagged a finger at her.
"Said the right words to make me vulnerable. I fell for it. He wiggled the deal. Oh, it's just a deal, Anthony. Trust me, you'll love it. It's going to be fine."
He mimicked his voice.
"Anthony?"
The spider demon, known for its lustful nature, only seemed too small to her at that moment. A tall, lingering, lanky figure curled up before her, his pink eyes dull with thought. Shakily, he whispered,
"That's me."
"Oh." Angel Dust glanced at her, wincing before turning his face away. Silence edged at them, tense in its nature.
"I think Anthony is a very charming name. It really suits you,"
she said, gentle with her tone. She could see his cheek twitch as if a smile had crossed it briefly.
"And your sister's name?"
This really caught his attention, causing him to sit up on the couch, palms flat against the cushions. She leaned forward with her hands clasped together underneath her chin, elbows firm on her lap, completely attentive to the other.
"Molly."
Charlie grinned.
"Molly? Where's she at? I'd love to meet her."
Angel shrugged.
That's the thing. I don't know."
He glanced at the ceiling.
"It's been a long time since I was alive. She's probably dead now. I've looked for her, but I think she made it to heaven."
and the look of a proud brother was evident on his expression. Her heart twisted. Something swell lurched in her, filling her with a sort of hope.
"Someday, Anthony,"
she said, catching his astonished attention at the use of his real name,
"you will see her again."
Angel Dust gave a low chuckle, shy when casting his focus away.
"I'll work very hard to make this happen." "I know you will,"
he said quietly, allowing time to pass before giving a long sigh and twisting his body to face her. His posture was slumped as if debating something.
Charlie?
Angel started.
"I appreciate all you've done for me."
Charlie placed a hand on her chest. "A thank you."
Of course. "But we gotta talk about that radio guy."
She blinked. He finally looked at her, grievous.
"You know, I was with Valentino for a long, long time. It was great at first, but there were little things that started to twist into something grim. It started with one small mishap, then the next. It's a domino effect, right? The smaller things turn into big things."
He rubbed a finger along his eyebrow, soothing himself.
"Listen, I was his prey."
Somber, she sighed.
"I know. I'm very sorry about that, Angel." "No, no, Charlie."
He clenched his fist.
"I mean, I'm talking about you."
Charlie couldn't really manifest a response, only looking at him in confusion. Angel flattened his hair.
"I'm saying,"
he stammered,
"I know what predators look like, Charlie."
That's where she could see it, the fear inside of him festering.
"A man who only keeps others alive for their own pleasure, not because he really cared about them. How they think they're looking at a pet, not a person."
She had a hard time figuring out the coding behind his words.
"He looks like he wants to eat you."
She never really thought about it like that before. Speechless, she glanced down at her notes, finding it difficult to read and get them back on topic.
Charlie, what he did?"
Angel paused.
"I can't get it out of my head. He's not right. You need to put him back where he came from."
Immediately, it felt like her sternum was squishing downwards. Air was a little hesitant to come back inside. She finally managed out.
"He's my only shot to reach Heaven's ears. I have to do this, Angel." "Is your father really that much of a dick? You can't fix that."
With a wince, she whispered,
"I can try."
Angel Dust's eyebrow twitched.
"The Pride family, huh?"
He shook his head and she could only sink under his words.
"I'm just looking out for your doll face. I don't want you to be put in the same position I was."
She wouldn't be. Charlie squeezed her pen.
"I understand, Angel."
The clock rang beside them. Their eye contact was strong, two divides of a rather tremendously torn path. Charlie could only give a smile.
"I think this was a good session,"
she said, turning off the clock and closing the book on her lap. She tucked her pen inside and glanced up at him.
"I'll try to schedule you again sometime next week, if that's okay. But I really do see a lot of progress."
Angel Dust was quiet, unresponsive, before giving a casual nod. He stood up and stretched.
"Well, I guess Fat Nuggets needs his belly rubbed."
He grinned.
"I'll see you around, girlie."
He left the room, leaving Charlie to her own devices. His words haunted her. "He looks like he wants to eat you." She never thought about it like that. Charlie watched her twiddling thumbs fight amongst each other. Angel Dust had just recovered from a rather traumatic event. Perhaps he was projecting some of these fears onto Alistair. Alistair had never really been kind to him, but she really couldn't ponder this right now. There was a lot to do.
You didn't tell me she lived in Cannibal Town.
The area of hell they resided in was definitely something straight out of a vintage film. It looked like they had been brought back into a human past. Cobbled streets, brick buildings, folk walking past with blazers and fanciful hats. Charlie was always advised not to cross here, told that it was an absolute hazard. But the streets were relatively clean, aside from dried bloodstains. Alistair trotted alongside her, cane tapping the ground as he walked, an arm bent behind his back. He faced forward mindlessly.
You didn't ask.
Yeah, but, like, come on, I didn't expect... Like, really? Is she a cannibal too? Oh...
He closed his eyelids, exasperated.
Princess, like it or not, these are your people too. Shouldn't you find the good in them as you try to find it in me?
Alistair opened an eye, a teasing glint residing inside and causing her to feel a sense of guilt. As much as she wasn't keen on it, he was right. These had to be potential rehab cases too, she thought. Judgment should not be hers to make. A large white sign that spoke in cursive lettering showcased, "Welcome to Cannibal Town." Charlie slowed her pace as she noticed a small crowd gathered near the square, some jazz playing, evidently a band performing for the lot. A few dancers, mostly onlookers, radiant in its aura.
It's surprisingly nice here.
Isn't it, though?
Alistair sang out, bending to press his head near Charlie's.
I'm shocked you've never stopped by.
Charlie thought it was simple.
I don't eat people. I try to avoid those who do that.
With a chuckle, he only corrected his posture, continuing to lead the way. Charlie followed initially, but was drawn into the various dancing couples and singles. The instruments were incredibly vibrant, demons with pitch-black eyes and consistently grinning teeth giving a true sort of happiness in their environment. She didn't realize she had stopped until Alistair had to walk back towards her with a curious uptick of a brow. He glanced over at the spirited group, then to her, and simply chimed.
Have you ever heard of the Dancing Plague of 1518?
The what of when now?
Charlie blinked up at him.
Is that an Earth thing?
Alistair nodded. It was one of the more popular hysterias that ran amongst humans. He closed his eyes when recalling the facts. It started with a single woman, just one, who seemed to endlessly dance in the streets.
He moved to her front, giving a turn, tilting his chin at her.
Until she would collapse. She would do it for days on end, dancing, collapsing from exhaustion.
Alistair dramatically put a hand on his head, twirling his cane.
To only get up and do it again, again and again and again.
He stamped his cane into the ground.
Suddenly, more and more people started to follow her into it. It formed into some mass contagion, dancing, then dropping to swing back at it until they died.
Shocked, she batted her eyes, confused at how such a thing could happen.
They died from dancing?
It was mania, darling. A true catastrophe. It started to infect various towns and hundreds upon hundreds of civilians. They just couldn't help it. Was it the food, the water, the depravity, the air?
Alistair chuckled, glancing back at the dancers.
They danced like their lives really depended on it. And it did. Oh, how I'd wished I'd lived it.
Charlie felt her heart thump in her chest with anxiety.
That's terrifying. The human world has such terrible stories.
Alistair shrugged.
Mass hysteria is a common concept, Princess. Humans were the ever so fragile creatures. A tiny, minuscule speck of filth could get into a cut, and boom, you're dead.
A laugh track sounded distantly.
The charm of it all.
With that, he turned and headed back towards the direction supposedly where Rosie resided. Charlie glanced at the performers before rushing back to Alistair's side, leaning into him slightly.
And you were human?
Yes.
Charlie smiled.
So, you were capable of feeble emotions at some point.
Even though she believed he already had them, it was fun to have a chance to tease him. Alistair twitched.
There's something you want to ask. I can imagine it buzzing inside of you.
She simpered, rubbing her chin in self-assessment.
Do you ever miss it?
With the music turning quiet as they continued further away, their footsteps clicking on the cobble beneath them and Alistair's cane tapping, it was quite a calming ambiance.
It was very restrictive, my dear. I find myself much more...
He shifted his fingers around as if trying to find a word.
Capable with this form. So, no, I don't think I miss it too much at all.
A bit of a one-dimensional answer. Charlie was a little let down. She was hoping he'd start talking dreamily about some sort of era to the human world. She had never experienced it herself, after all. Curiosity bested her at most.
If you struggle to accept hell for its people,
Alistair said when noticing her silence,
then you will most definitely struggle to accept Earth.
Charlie sighed.
Is it really that similar?
The worst of it goes down here like sewage. So I would say so.
But she would disagree. A lot of her people weren't evil. They approached a maroon-colored building with large white doors. Alistair took the lead in front of her and moved to open the door for her, wide and welcoming. She stepped inside to what seemed like a rather luxurious boutique. With a short front and a long, rectangular back that had a second open story, she glanced around, noticing the people that had been gathering inside. It honestly appeared to be some sort of casual event, some with teacups in their hands, other with finger food that never lacked a carmine tint to it. There were also mannequins set up with intricate dresses and suits. What fine threading! Tables surrounded the area, some cannibal-inclined folks seated to enjoy whatever meals they had served. The building had an established front desk that buzzed with popularity. Music played in the background, similar to the type Alistair listened to. When glancing at him, Charlie took note of how much he seemed to fit into Cannibal Town. Then she recalled a specific rumor of him being a cannibal. Charlie rubbed at the corners of her tired eyes. How many things about this guy was so damning? Patience, Charlie.
Oh my, is that who I think it is?
A feminine voice chirped from the other side of the room, and Charlie looked to see that it was a rather tall woman peeling herself out of the front desk's chair. A large hat with a rose settled in the trim, a dress tulipped around her body, she gave off a very prestigious atmosphere. The woman waded through the crowd to approach the two of them.
Alistair!
She sang most excitedly.
Rosie!
Alistair grinned, wide, allowing the woman to take his hands and plant a ghost kiss on each of his cheeks. She wouldn't lie. She was completely taken aback at the behavior.
Your emporium is as lively as ever.
This was Rosie. Charlie ogled her. She giggled, pulling away a hand to press it against her cheek.
Well, there's been a restock.
She shimmied her shoulders.
With Franklin out of the picture and all.
Alistair ticked a brow upwards, and she laughed, him chuckling in response to her behavior.
Well, that's irrelevant. I thought you were as good as dead when you were exiled. You do have to tell me about that,
Rosie continued to say.
7 years, Al! Seriously, what are you keeping me from? When you visited for the carpets, you barely said a word.
Alistair put both of his hands on his cane once Rosie pulled away. With a sigh, he glanced at Charlie.
Oh, I know, quite the tale I have.
He walked over to her and planted a hand on her back.
Rosie, I'd love to introduce you to my guest.
Your guest?
Rosie blinked.
Oh, Alistair, your brain must be numb from all those years of nothingness. You're making friends now.
It was clearly lighthearted, the woman finally looking down at her with eyes as dark as ink.
What a cutie!
Immediately her hand moved to squish at her cheek, Charlie wincing.
I know those little cheeks and locks anywhere. Are you a morning star?
Charlie nodded.
Yes, the Princess of Hell,
Alistair said, wafting some hair over her shoulder as if to show off more of her.
You're befriending the royalties now, my, how you're upping your game.
Rosie giggled before reaching her arms outward.
Well, come, come, let us find a more quaint place to catch up, yes? And finally we can properly meet each other, Princess.
So, with that, they were promptly led up the stairs to the overhang. Rosie moved them to a more secluded spot in the building, jazz rolling out of the speakers from afar. A porcelain white table with a maroon set and quite luxurious chairs suiting the spot. Rosie twisted around the platform to sit on the opposite side, and when Charlie approached a chair, Alistair had politely pulled it out for her. She glanced back at him, curious, him content in the face as she slowly took her seat, and he nudged her in perfectly. Pushing her hands in her lap to clasp them together, Charlie felt stiff and awkward. She witnessed their banter before, so natural and perfectly timed, their personalities clashed together so well. Alistair had taken the other chair beside them, neatly tucking his cane against the armrest of the seat and crossing his legs. The two of them had sparked a rather small conversation, but once more, she felt herself zoning out when gazing at them in interest. A friendship that seemed to go back far beyond her introduction to their life. She wondered what it was like to grow with someone in such a way that wasn't forced to be around you. It was natural, right? This was natural, Alistair and Rosie's interactions.
Oh, Alistair, certainly you're staying for the jolly up tonight, Rosie said after beckoning a waiter over to get them food. It's been so long since I've seen you enjoy Cannibal Town.
Alistair chuckled.
Well, it depends on the miss over here.
He looked at Charlie, smiling a little wider.
I am her escort today.
Ah, yes, Charlie, dear,
Rosie said, putting her elbows on the table to hold her head up.
I do wonder how you and Al met.
Charlie glanced at Alistair, who didn't really give any input on what she should say. He was just attentive. She returned her gaze to Rosie.
Well, I'm the one who took him out of exile.
Rosie gave a coo of bewilderment.
I have a project I'm working on where I want to rehabilitate sinners to combat overpopulation. I loathe Extermination Day, so I wanted to provide a more pacifist solution.
Rosie pursed her lips, eyebrows raised and showing pure interest.
My, that's certainly dreamy. Oh, she's just your type, Alistair, ain't she?
She laughed, and Charlie felt her face turn warm.
A little rebellious, though, huh? Your daddy's Lucifer, is he not? What a romantic, tragic story. How long have you been together, then? Al, you didn't come see me sooner and break the news?
Was she really implying they were... Alistair cleared his throat.
I am her business partner,
he corrected.
Oh, could have fooled me. You two look so radiant. You know, I had the same sort of vibrancy when Frankie and I first fell.
The waiter came and served them a stacked tray of appetizers. There was a kettle as well, and Rosie moved to pour herself what smelled like coffee.
We were just two sweethearts. Excuse my assumptions. Alistair doesn't really keep friends.
She dolloped some sugar cubes inside her drink. Charlie wanted to mention the contract aspect. However, with Alistair's irritated eyebrows bent, she decided to keep that lodged in her throat. Maybe he didn't want it shared? She felt like he would have mentioned it by now. Alistair sighed.
Rosie, dear, we actually came because we want you to become a sponsor,
he said. Charlie took notes of the we and glanced at him. He closed his eyes and took his own coffee into his hands.
The Hasbin Hotel is an establishment you most certainly want to invest in.
Rosie hummed.
Well, how can I deny that? A business partner of yours is a business partner of mine.
She took a finger-shaped snack from the tray.
I'll do it.
That easy? Charlie whispered. Alistair laughed.
Rosie's a gem, Charlie. Why wouldn't she?
Why would she?
No third parties? No buts, ands, ifs? Rosie, you're not going to laugh at me and call it dumb?
The parlor owner smiled, dimples forming near her black lips.
Alistair is absolutely sparkling with excitement. Don't you see it? Of course I'll fester his strange ideas.
She leaned back.
And how can I reject the request from the princess?
Charlie shook her head.
My position has no relevance. You're a cute girl with a dream.
Rosie flapped her hand to reject her statement.
Honey, I was a young girl too once. Let me say, chase it till it bleeds. Wring its neck dry.
A predatory statement masked with good intention. With a puzzled head, she glanced at her empty cup, trying to make sense in the porcelain shine.
I didn't know Alistair had actual friends.
Charlie idly commented. Rosie cackled at that, with Alistair gritting out a bitter ha-ha.
If Alistair makes an investment, well...
Rosie said after settling her quivering chest.
I'll say, dear, it's quite rare.
This is what had spewed a lively storytelling session from Rosie's behalf. She told whatever was on her mind with such exuberance that it was difficult to really pinpoint any faults she could have. Charlie would watch her exaggerated expressions with an intrigue she could only call close to a character study. As she focused, mindlessly nodding and giving acknowledgments, a black hand with red tips appeared before her vision. It moved to pluck at one of the macaron-shaped treats, a gentle pink color to it with a dark, creamy inside. Charlie watched as Alistair eyed the treat, rotating it around aimlessly, before noticing that he had her attention. He bit into it, yellow teeth leaving punctures into the hardened shell of the macaron. Rosie's talking had only become background noise at that point. The princess trying her best to revert back to the woman, but her gaze would slowly drag towards Alistair to watch as a line of crimson liquid oozed down his lip and towards his jaw. He was still staring at her during the eating process.
And wouldn't you say so, princess?
Charlie quickly whipped her eyes back to Rosie, who cradled her head.
I mean, really, I'm not the crazy one there, am I?
After she cleared her throat, she vigorously nodded in agreement with Rosie, who took the go-ahead to continue her thrilling story. Charlie zoned out for a mere second. Focus. Really give attention. This is what her parents taught her to do. And yet, she glanced over back at Alistair, whose red stare greeted her with open arms. He had the pad of his thumb smearing away the stain on his chin to only extend his rather pink tongue and lick the mess off. Her heart felt a little faster than usual. Fear? His smile turned into a miniature grin as he flipped the macaron over to dip his tongue against the bleeding middle.
Aunt Charlie!
Rosie shouted, causing her to jump and bang her knees against the table.
I mean, Franklin, we won't miss him.
She guffawed, holding her stomach in laughter, before giving a quick shake to ease her amusement.
Ah, it's a mess, isn't it?
Charlie gave a nervous giggle deep in her throat and nodded.
What a conundrum you have going on, ma'am.
Rosie sighed.
Right. Ah, Charlie, dear, feel free to help yourself to all the refreshments.
With open palms, she gestured to the coffee and snack tray.
A poor skinny thing like you should keep plump to distinguish your royalties. Oh, no, no,
she declined rather quickly.
I'm quite all right.
Charlie.
Alistair piped up beside her. It immediately caught her words in her throat.
Why don't you try one? Let's not be rude.
He wiggled the macaron between his fingers. Her attempt to reject it once more would be interrupted. Alistair leaned forward on the table, his elbow shifting against the white cloth, a free hand cupping her jaw. Her heart began to tickle against her ribs in adrenaline. Slowly, her mouth was opened, and Charlie couldn't find it in herself to fight back against him. He pried a thumb against her lip to pull it down as he pushed his half-eaten macaron into her mouth. Salty, at first, she noted, with sweet undertones melting into a faint, metallic taste. She began to panic slightly. However, Alistair closed her mouth. Charlie winced, tears filling her vision as she did not enjoy the taste, attempting to swerve away from his hands to spit it into a napkin. However, Alistair gripped her chin harder and forced her to look at him, his other moving to pinch her nose shut to prevent air from entering her.
"Swallow it, my dear."
Charlie shook her head. However, Alistair leaned closer and smiled wider at her. Their eyes could not tear away from each other. At that moment in the world, Charlie had come to a damning realization that the radio demon could end her at this very moment. She left her back bare, nude, vulnerable, for him to sink knives into whenever he wanted. Cutting off her air supply was only the tip of the iceberg. And finally she gulped. Alistair released her. Charlie bent over, clutching her throat and gasping for air, shaking from fear.
"Good girl,"
he commented beside her, petting his fingers through her hair. She hated how soothing it was. Rosie clapped from the other side of the table. She felt humiliated at the display.
"Oh, you two are just perfect for each other, aren't you? What's in those macarons?"
Charlie demanded, popping her head up to glance at them in bewilderment. Rosie and Alistair glanced at each other.
"Did you?"
A hollering came from downstairs. Rosie batted her ink-black eyelashes in surprise, standing up to waddle over to the railing to glance downwards.
"Hey, what did I say? Don't make such a bloody mess in my emporium!"
With that, she clutched at her dress and started to rush down the steps to address the commotion properly. That left Alistair and Charlie at the table in an awkward silence. With clenched hands, Charlie shot out of her seat and slammed her fist against the table to scowl at him. Alistair only watched her with a lazy expression, bumping his crossed leg up and down idly.
"Why did you do that?"
"You would have hurt dear Rosie's feelings by not having at least something."
He defended his case, coming across as bored at the accusation.
"You just made me eat."
Charlie looked at the snacks and held her stomach in disgust.
"Someone."
Alistair sighed.
"It was only a little blood. Be thankful I didn't give you the little sandwich there."
Nausea. She leaned over the table to take a gasp of air.
"Don't do that to me again, Alistair,"
she whispered, a certain tremble in her right wrist that wouldn't quite go away.
"Did I scare you?"
She looked at him from the corner of her eye. There was a darkness emanating off him.
"It wasn't the food you're upset about, is it?" "No."
He licked his teeth.
"You are upset about me in particular."
Charlie bit her lip.
"You were choking me. Of course I was."
Alistair didn't really reply to that. Instead, he stood up alongside her, giving a pensive once-over before wiping a knuckle against the corner of her mouth. He glanced at it as if there was something on it.
"I didn't have the intention of killing you, Charlie, if that helps. In all honesty, it wasn't quite murderous, I believe."
With a simper, he bent to be more level with her.
"Mine just wanted to squeeze you."
"Squeeze me?"
"I have this carnivorous desire to squeeze you,"
he explained, wringing his hand as if it ached.
"To..."
He trailed off.
"Well, I'm not quite sure. How exciting is that, princess? Oh, you really are such a strange little thing, aren't you?"
Confused, Charlie watched as he fixed his suit, clearly distracting himself from a thought he had.
"Alistair, I don't really understand what you're saying."
Alistair remained still and unresponsive. Rosie's voice calling their names sounded, and Charlie moved to the railing to look down at her. The place was empty, and she was waving a small little handkerchief at them.
Yoo-hoo! Oh, darlings, the jolly-up is about to begin outside! Come join, see what you're bargaining for, princess!
She glanced back at Alistair, who had only tilted his chin in her direction, and gave a small nod. With that, she made her way down the stairs alone, and met alongside Rosie.
Where's Al?
The Overlord commented, causing the princess to shrug. They both decided to leave the Emporium, Rosie linking her arm with hers to start talking about Cannibal Town's supposed night of joy. Once they went outside, the town was bursting with all sorts of jazzy music, even more than before. There were large crowds surrounding the gazebo area in the most lively joy they could spread. Charlie could feel the air's tension grow light and careless. It was exhilarating to watch people before her rejoice. Clasping her palms together, she watched in utmost excitement. Rosie giggled at her expression and dragged her on over to an outdoor bar area.
Let me get this girl a good drink. What you like, princess? Something fruity or dry?
I'll have something fruity, Charlie muttered. But please, make it vegan?
She winced and Rosie laughed.
Hold the blood, bot!
Rosie called to the bartender, who began to make a drink. She petted at Charlie's head playfully before having her attention bought by some rather distinguished outsiders, mentioning someone named Susan. With a sigh, the woman rubbed at her forehead before poking a finger at her.
I'll be back, my dear.
She headed off and left Charlie alone. Charlie watched as a fruity cocktail was tipped her way. With a small, muttered thanks, she leaned down to look at the ingredients and mix carefully to ensure there was nothing suspiciously demon inside of it. Deeming it safe enough, she sipped the edge, the stick of cherries patting against her cheek. Relief was granted once she didn't taste anything suspicious. With a glance behind, she watched as the town was exploding with song. Cannibal Town had always been deemed as no man's land by her father, and some outside sources who preferred not to take a step inside. Charlie curiously wondered why it had such a bad reputation. Sure, cannibalism was something else, but everyone seemed sophisticated.
You should go and dance alongside them.
Alistair had finally decided to rejoin her after some time apart. She raised an eyebrow.
Are you done being weird in there?
He chuckled.
Sometimes a radio's dial is a bit too far in its notch. Push it back into place, and you'll resume your crystal clear broadcasting.
He sang, wagging a finger. Alistair then eyed the drink.
Who gave you that?
Rosie bought it for me. I asked for no demon in it.
She clarified at Alistair.
And she respected it.
That didn't satisfy him enough.
Is this your only one?
He asked. What strange questions. Charlie nodded, however a little hesitant in the bend in his eyebrow, before he gave a quiet approval and glanced out into the dancing crowd.
Try not to drink too much without supervision. Who knows what could happen?
I didn't know you cared about my well-being that way.
This made him twitch. She sipped along the edge tauntingly. Something must have been wrong with him tonight. He seemed distracted.
Do you know how to swing dance, Charlie?
Charlie looked at him, shaking her head, and he chuckled.
Aw, so you've only been taught solo ballad pieces, I see.
He gave her a gentle look, eyeing her up and down before peeling the near-empty martini glass from her hands to plant it on the table. Before she could protest, Alistair had grabbed her hand to guide her into the crowd. The alcohol made her feel a little bit lighter and indifferent towards the clutch of him. He finally pulled her into a proper spot, holding onto her hand tightly to spin her around. There were plenty of other couples dancing along them, the graces of clothing sometimes pattering against her body.
The jazz was so loud, and she allowed Alistair to guide her into an upper rhythmic sway, her back against his chest. He would continue to extend her outwards, causing her to twist and flare outwards in surprise at his sudden electricity. It seemed like the crowd was mimicking the same moments as she took note of her surroundings. Charlie moved, and suddenly another hand grabbed hers and peeled her away from Alistair. She looked back at him and watched as she slowly got drowned away from the crowd, dancing alongside other men, who continued to twist and spin her, tap their feet along with the crowd, then move on to the next dame. The synchronicity was dizzying. Charlie allowed herself to spin and slowly find pleasure in the jazz. She laughed, finding herself dancing too, matching the energy of the gentleman who continued to pass on by. When she looked over, she watched as Alistair stood deathly still in the crowd, heads and faces briefly covering his image. But she continued to look in his direction. He was only looking at her, tight-lipped and hard to read. Then, as she woke up from her small trance, she glanced around to see several cannibals with linked arms running circles around her in joy. Charlie watched, hypnotized, them parting to dance with one another. Eventually, a gentleman grabbed her hand to put her back into the rhythm, holding their chests together, and she gazed into his night-black eyes. With a smile, he glanced at her, mustache puffed out as his hand trailed along her arm to peel her sleeve upwards. Charlie blinked, surprised, before noticing his mouth open wide and his head quickly darting itself towards her skin. She let out a tiny gasp of surprise to yank it away. However, a red hand slammed its palm into the man's head and shoved him into the crowd instantaneously. The hungry-eyed cannibals then pounced on the fallen man to start devouring him, tearing him to shreds, pieces of flesh and guts ripped from his corpse. Charlie trembled in fear, stumbling back slightly to place her fingers across her face in pure shock. She almost tripped on herself, but an arm steadied her. Alistair right against her side, as always.
"Oh, look at that. The ceremony is complete,"
he said.
"Feeding time, you dogs. Ha ha! Dig on in!"
He was cheering as if it was some sort of sports game. She continued to hold her face, watching the gruesome display before her, another man falling victim to the starved demons.
"It's a fucking ceremony?"
Alistair chuckled beside her, rubbing his palm along her back as if to calm her.
You pushed me into a sacrifice ceremony?"
"I was going to save you,"
Alistair said.
"And I did."
He grinned down at her.
"You know I would never let anyone else eat you."
She groaned and wiped her face. Charlie couldn't stomach the image anymore and turned her back to it.
Okay, let's just get out of here. We got what we needed. Oh, heavens, I'm definitely not sleeping tonight."
Alistair began to guide her away from the cannibalistic buffet.
"Joyous! Certainly we can share our sleepless night together then. I always find myself more productive as darkness falls."
"I appreciate it, but I think I've had enough of you for the day."
He laughed. Entry number 3. Patient, the radio demon. "I'm guilty as charged. I find this man very difficult to still get a hold of. It's been a few weeks, and I am unable to update my logs as often as... I find progress very difficult. He relapses frequently. Could I even call it a relapse if he never stopped? I don't know. All these strange things happen, but still I find myself soothed by his presence. Maybe that's a good thing. Am I being judgmental? At least Angel seems to be doing better. Charlie Morningstar."